I'm just going to pray for you before we begin it all. Maybe I'll come down there. I have to hold my Bible and I... Fine. Tuck it in. Is that better? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the strange journeys of our lives, the roads that lead us back to you and back to each other. We thank you for Dallas and all that he does and all that he is in you. We ask that you continue to bless him and his work and his ministry, bless his family. Lord God, we pray that in what he has to say, we would hear from you this morning. Bless him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. About 28 days and about an hour and a half ago, I met that guy. And Dave is, it is wonderful that you've called him as your pastor. Dave loves God, he loves you, and I think he even likes most of you. Just kidding, he loves you. It is great that God has called a man like Dave to serve you, to share of who God is to you, to lead you. And so I'm so thankful that he's here in your midst. I know that date because I met somebody else that date. I met my wife around the exact same time. I moved from Western Canada to Hamilton to go to McMaster Divinity College. And my wife and I, Leanne, we served for about 10 years together at Mount Hamilton Baptist Church, where she continues to serve as the senior pastor. I have a son. His name is Josiah, and he is 11 years old. Josiah likes to play baseball. He likes to read and to look at fact books. He also likes science. And Josiah said to me this summer that he has figured out, he understands how to build a teleporter. Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, like how you like get from one place to the other place? So Josiah was telling me, and he goes into all this detail, how he has figured this out. So unrelated to that, this summer in about August, as we're going, getting ready for school, we're driving in the car, and Josiah says, Dad, I'm just so excited to go into grade 6. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. So Josiah, why are you looking forward to grade 6? Well, Dad, there is a science fair in grade 6. Oh, he's already thinking about doing homework. I'm like, this is amazing. So Josiah, what are you going to do for your science fair? He says, I just don't know. I'm not quite sure yet. And I say, well, what about your teleporter idea? He says, Dad, don't be silly. I can't share those secrets with school. Now, my daughter is 8, and my daughter, from the earliest of days, we knew that she was going to, she has a mind of her own. She has got some like strength and some vigor inside of her, and I love it. At about 14 or 15 months, she hadn't said much. She said some mamas and dadas, but not, you know, really talking. Until one day we're sitting at the dining room table. We had guests over, so we had a tablecloth on, and she's kind of pulling at it. And I kind of am keeping her from that. So here, a girl who's never spoken doesn't say just one word, but two words in a row. Let go! And this began the journey. A couple years later, I was flying out to Eastern Canada. My wife's from Newfoundland, and actually she had lost her sister, and so I had to take the kids to the airport. And here I have about a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I'm quite nervous about traveling with them. You know, I got the luggage I'm trying to carry and hold hands with the kids and trying to just get to our gate. And I say, Lucy, you have to hold Dad's hand. And she said, no, Lucy hold Lucy's hand. And she just walked right up, holding her own hands. And so life with a child can be a bit precarious. Family is precious, and it's precarious. You all know that. I'm glad that you are part of the family, the CBOQ family. I bring greetings on behalf of 340 other churches, on behalf of about 700 ordained pastors, both active and some that are retired, and on about 30,000-ish congregants throughout Ontario and Quebec. And we are so grateful that you are part of the family. We like to say that we are a family of churches transformed by Christ, revealing God's kingdom. At the back of the sanctuary, or in the hallway there, there's a little brochure that where we gave out to all the different churches. So if you want to read a little bit more about what we're up to, there's some helpful information in that. And God's doing some amazing things in our midst. We have churches that are experiencing some revival in their own midst. We have a couple churches that have done Alpha in the last year, and they spent all kinds of time and energy inviting people and preparing people, making meals for all kinds of folks to participate. And people have come to know Christ, and that's good news. We have churches that are doing Celebrate Recovery and help in seeing people be freed from addiction. We have churches that are trying to do their best to engage the next generation and to find ways of being faithful and to be relevant. And we also have some churches that are struggling. We have some churches that remember what it was like in the 50s and the 60s when the building was full, when children were coming and families were coming, and they're doing their best to figure out what's it going to look like for us to be relevant today. And that's a tough journey. One of the churches that was in that place, or is in that place, recently was trying to discern whether or not they were going to spend, they had some money saved up, and whether they would spend it on a renovation project in order to become more accessible for in the community and to prepare themselves to build capacity for future generations. And sadly, they chose not to do that. Rather to say, you know what, if we just keep this money, we can go for at least another 10 years. And that breaks my heart. We have other churches that have said, you know, we're not sure if we're really ready to take that risk. And that's always a bit disconcerting. But today, you are here. And your story can look different. Today we celebrate an anniversary. We remember of all the ways that God has been faithful over the years. The way that God is faithful and present today. And for the way that God has a future for you. And so it's good to be together. My understanding is over the last little bit, that you've been going through your covenant. And I don't think it's probably too small for you for us all to read together. Do you think you guys can read that with me? All right, why don't we do it? Let's read this together. So this comes from your covenant, and this is the portion, and I'm just going to spend a little bit of time looking at. Then we're going to look at a passage of scripture, and we're going to return to it in a little bit. So why don't we read this together? We promise to grow to be more like Jesus. I will forgive when you hurt or offend me because God has forgiven me and keeps forgiving me. We will not grieve the Spirit. I will live in unity with the family of God under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if that unity is threatened, we will strive for repentance and reconciliation. You are a family, and it is good to be family. But like any family, there are certain ways that we act as family, right? In your own families, you have ways that you have either stated, if you're going to be a part of this family, this is the thing that we do. Or if you're going to be a part of this family, it's just sort of the natural. You've sort of created rhythms and ways of being. And like every family, there's sometimes new people that are included into the family. Children, in-laws. Family is always moving. It's always changing. And part of what makes a family is the things that get spoken, but also sometimes the things that don't get spoken. That's why it's so important that you're doing just like you're doing right now, reviewing. This is our covenant. This is why we belong. This is why we gather together. In order to do that, we've been looking at a passage that's already been read from us from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read again, the first couple of verses of that. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, one of the pieces of this passage that I think is so important is to be worthy of the calling that you have received. Each and every one of you has a calling on your life. The calling is actually extended to everyone that we are adopted as God's children. It's nothing that we've done, but it's God who says, yep, you're my child. We have a calling that's universal also, that is, that through the power, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we are saved. And again, that calling is universal for every person. God wants every person to know that and to live with that. There's also callings that are a little more specific. For some of you, it's to be a parent and to parent in the way of Jesus, or to be a grandparent, or to be a Sunday school teacher, or to sit on the leadership team of the church. And so there's a few more specific things that each and every one of you has been called to live out your faith and your vocation. But there's also a sense in which Christ is calling us each and every day. The journey of discipleship is a journey of hearing the voice of Jesus and responding appropriately. The definition of discipleship, I like to say, is that we hear the voice of Jesus and we respond appropriately. How do we hear God's voice? Well, Scripture is a pretty good place to start. In there, we have the instructions on how we can live. And in the midst of the chaos of life, and the confusion of life, and in the midst of all kinds of gray areas in this world, we can return again and again to Scripture to say, that is what Christ has called us to. That's the kind of life we're called to. But there's also that sense in which you walk through life, and every once in a while, something happens in your heart, in your ticker, and it makes you say, oh, God, is that you? Or is that just the bad taco I ate at supper time? And part of the journey is discerning, is that God speaking to me? You know, you can pass the same homeless person 1,000 times, but it might be on that 1,000th and first time where you stop. And as you're approaching, it's like God says, actually, I want you to do something. It can be that you have a coworker or a neighbor that has just had to experience some kind of grief or challenging thing. And maybe you might dismiss that person because you find them annoying. And yet, at that moment, it's like God says, nope, you are to be the hands and the feet there. I do believe that can be the voice of God. And the disciple is the one that says, okay, Lord, I'll be present. I'll listen, or I'll do. I may not be able to fix all their problems. In fact, I certainly can't fix all their problems. But the call to discipleship is one that responds. So that's part of the calling that we've received, to be humble, to be gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, and to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is important, but we don't just gather together to sing kumbaya and to hold hands. We gather together with Christ as the Lord. If we carry this banner that says Jesus is Lord, it then gives us an opportunity to gather together as one. And that unity is so precious. In a world that is commonly becoming increasingly divisive, it is the church that can stand as a different voice. And as we act as one, what a blessing and a privilege that is to the world. And so the scripture goes on to say, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, and you have, when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word there that just jumps off the page is one. I hope and I know that Christ is Lord over this congregation. And so part of what it means to gather for us is to say, we have one Lord over all, that we are one body because of what the Spirit of God does in our midst, that we have one hope, one faith. Here's the thing. If you're part of the body of Christ, there is a universal thing of what it means to be the church, so that any church you can go into in the history of the universe, in the history of the world, any church should be proclaiming God's love. And in that case, we are like all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. One Lord is before us all. But there's also another calling that God has given your congregation, Calvary. And that is to be distinct. And so in that way, this church, you have been called to something that no other church in the history of the world has been called to. You are the only people in the world that God has given these gifts to, your specific gifts to, that God has placed you in this location, in the Beaches neighborhood of Toronto. You are the only church that has this history with your very passions and the things that get you excited as a people. That means that God has placed you right here to be the good news in this neighborhood. It's a high calling, but it's beautiful. And so that is why the unity is so important. That is why it's so important that we stay together with Christ as our Lord. See, here's the thing. So often in our churches, we have people that want to go this way and we want to go that way, and we read scripture and we say, God is calling us to be better disciples, and we think, yes, let's be better disciples. And we also read that we need to be evangelists, and we say, yes, Lord, we need to be evangelists, and so we got to go this way. And then we think, we need to take care of the poor, and so we start this program, and we're going to go in this direction, and we need to take care of our building, and we need to steward this building that God has wonderfully given to us, and so, yes, we're going to go in that direction. And it's easy to see how a congregation can have so many competing priorities. Have you ever seen that in church life? And that's why we were reminded that we have one Lord, one faith. And it's going to mean that some are going to want to do it this way, and a few of us are going to want to do it that way. And we're going to try and kind of fight for what we think is most important. But the fight is that Jesus would be Lord over all. The fight isn't just that we get our own way. That when you draw a circle around, and I didn't do the math on this, but if you draw a circle probably just 10 kilometers around here, maybe even less than that, 5 kilometers, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is why unity is so important. That is why your spiritual maturity, your journey as a disciple of Jesus is so important. The passage goes on to say, so Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I'm guessing that most of you don't consider yourselves apostles or prophets. Some of you might have the gift of evangelism. Some of you might consider yourself teachers or pastors, or in this passage you can use the word pastors or also shepherds, one people who are given responsibility to care for the flock, and maybe you do that through the care that you provide to others. There's a bit of a debate whether or not in Christianity, whether or not the apostles are just the original 12 that followed Jesus, but it seems like when you read this passage that there's people that are called to be apostles even today. And prophets. Prophets aren't the fortune tellers. Prophets are the people who are concerned with the covenant that we have with God and the covenant that we have with each other. It's the very purpose of what this covenant that we're reading, right? Evangelists are the ones who are just saying, you know, I'm so glad that we have people in our congregation, but there's a ton of people out there who need to know the good news of Christ. And they're the ones kind of charging us to go forward in mission. And so God, I'm guessing, has called each and given each and every one of you a gift and a talent. Apostles, again, are the ones who are sent. Prophets are the ones who question. Evangelists are the ones who try to recruit the people into God's kingdom. Shepherds care. Teachers are given to us to explain what Christ has for us. And sometimes we have these different motivations, and sometimes we have these different things that push us toward being part of the body of Christ. God has given you, each and every one of you, a gift and a talent to be stewarded for God's kingdom. I hope you use those gifts. And I realize that some of you may have never thought of yourself as a prophet or an evangelist. But I wonder if you are someone that kind of keeps, every time you gather on a committee or a board member, you keep saying, you know, folks, we've forgotten our first love, God. If that is the kind of way God's wired you, then you got to use that. keep sharing that. Keep reminding people, is what we're doing bring honor and glory to Christ? You know, if you take a look at these kind of categories, if you think of these sort of people with gift sets and talents, there's some in our midst who are apostles. They're always looking to, like, do the next thing for the God's kingdom. I understand you're going to do the CAP program in the next little while, and that's a great example of going, you know what, we see a need, and we're going to go meet that. There's the prophets and the evangelists. And in some ways, these are people who are pioneers. You want to see the church go forward. And sometimes when I visit our churches, I get frustrated because I feel like all of the pioneers have left. And maybe it's because of church politics. Maybe it's because they couldn't use their creativities or the gifts or that burning passion in their heart. If some of you are pioneers, use those gifts. Keep challenging the church to go forward in mission. And God has given us settlers, those who say, this is what it means for us to be the body of Christ. We're gonna care for people well, and we're going to teach them about what it means to be a follower of Christ. So God has given us, those of you, to use your gifts. And there's all kinds of other gifts we could talk about. Study them. Know what they are and know what your gift is. And finally, in this passage, the thing that jumps out to me is that the goal in all of this is that we would be mature in Christ. That we would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're never going to experience that all here on earth. But that is the goal that we are all striving towards. And so as we review your covenant, there's a few things that jump off the page for me. And I get to come in as an outsider, which allows me maybe to say things that are a little more dramatic. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to leave and, you know, you can say, that CBOQ guy, he doesn't understand what it's like. The covenant says, we promise to grow to be more like Jesus. You just stop right there. Again, I use the phrase, a disciple of Jesus is one who hears the voice of Jesus and responds appropriately. And that's an everyday activity. I had a situation a while ago where I had a friend who I just sort of I just hadn't really had much conversations about God with them, and in fact we were doing an alpha at our church, and I didn't really want to invite them to that because I didn't want to ruin our relationship. This is not someone who follows Jesus, and yet I just couldn't get that nagging out of my own heart. So I invited them to Alpha. I was facilitating one of the groups. They joined us, and they came quite regularly, quite consistently, and we had some great conversations about God. They didn't make a commitment to Christ or anything. This is a friend that I've been journeying with, or friends that we've been journeying with for about maybe 5 or 7 years. And they have a hot tub. So often we go over there to their place, and they actually have one of those pools that you swim, those big ones that have the water come at you. So it's like it's a giant hot tub. So we'll often be in the hot tub, and we've, you know, chatted for 2 hours, and we're getting ready to leave, and then they ask this question about God. And there's times where it's like, oh, I just want to go to bed, but let's start talking about God. Being a disciple is one who says, okay, everything in me wants to leave now, but I need to be here because this person may want to encounter Christ. And we're going to talk about some of those questions. I don't know what it's like for you, but being a disciple of Jesus, there's people in your life that need to hear about Christ. And maybe you're going to need to listen to that voice a little more this week, over the next little while. Maybe you need to give them $20 bills or cookies. The covenant then also says, I will forgive you when you hurt or offend me, because God has forgiven me and keeps forgiving me. You know, this phrase here, I just want to zero in really quickly on a couple of those things. I will forgive you when you hurt. Here's the thing about being in a family. Hurt people hurt people. When people are hurt, they often lash out and hurt others. And that's why we need Christ. Remember all those things earlier in the passage, being humble and patient? If you have hurts in your life, you need to deal with them. It might mean starting by going to God. It often starts with going to God. It may need getting some help with counseling or whatever that might be. Because hurt people, they can be toxic in our church family. And those of you who might be stronger in this situation or might have more resources, you need to come alongside them and love them. And forgiveness is key to all of this. Forgiveness, I gotta tell you, as Dave alluded to earlier, I've got a couple theological degrees, and I've spent a lot of time studying about God and the Bible, but I have all kinds of doubts about the mystery of God, why God does some things and why God doesn't do other things. And sometimes I think, oh, God, why can't you make it clearer? But the one thing that jumps off the page again and again and again and again is forgiveness. It's the one thing that makes a difference. And to be people of forgiveness, that's what makes you as a church unique and different. Again, that unity piece, and then that very last one. And if that unity is threatened, we will strive for repentance and reconciliation. Unity doesn't happen by accident. The name Dallas means peaceful dweller. I love to be in places of peace, but I also know what it's like to avoid conflict. And sometimes that's my desire. Oh, I'll just pretend that it didn't happen. But that's not true peace. That's not true unity. And that's why we strive to be communities of reconciliation. And we want to be communities of reconciliation, but that also begins with repentance, with each of us owning our own hurts, our own pains, our own baggage. And the peace of Christ, the salvation of Christ, is there to forgive us and all that. Listen, friends, I'm grateful that you are on this journey of discovering what your covenant is. May you continue to be disciples of Jesus that keep walking towards Christ one step at a time. May you hear Christ's voice in everything you do, and may you respond appropriately so that you will be united as one people and that you will continue to grow in the maturity of Christ. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. And so, Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you that they have a long history and tradition of following you. May you continue to make them more and more like you. May they be unified under the banner of you as Lord. Jesus is Lord. And like in that way, they are one with all of their CBOQ churches, churches in this neighborhood, in this community, proclaiming your name. But may you also give them an awareness that you have called them as a congregation to be unique in such a way that there is no other church that you have called to be your hands and feet in the corner of this street, in this neighborhood, so that your name will be proclaimed here and beyond. Thank you for Pastor Dave, for the gifts and talents you've given him. May he continue to shepherd these people well. Thank you for all the gifts and talents that are represented in this room, and may they be used for your kingdom's sake. We'll give you all the praise and the glory for who you are.